Now you have received, should have received, update number 926. And anyway, the editorial has a question, and the question is, don't question, just believe, question mark. And if you wonder what that is all about, you've got to read it. But it has a lot to do with some discussion about an article, which we published in the last update. It was an article about Dr. Mikowitz. It was published by Natural Health. And some didn't like that at all. The article also goes into a video which was made about her and by her. And the church groups, some don't like it. But the statements which were made were rather questionable. And I am addressing this a little bit as an example. And then I go on to say this. In our newest booklet on obeying God rather than man, we state the following under the headline, What the Mark of the Beast Means for Us Today. And then we quote from the booklet, True Christians understand that the Sabbath and the holy days must be kept and that they must not instead accept the mark of the beast by worshiping on Sunday and pagan holidays and by refusing to worship on God's weekly and annual Sabbaths. But how does this play out in practice? When the government prohibits Christian churches to meet and assemble on the Sabbath, they might not even place their prohibition under a religious mantle, but they might give some other reasons, such as the outbreak of a pandemic that would require people to stay home. The weekly Sabbath and the annual holy days are commanded biblical holy assemblies or holy convocations. Compare Leviticus chapter 23. We should ask ourselves whether refusing to follow God's command, because the government says so, would be pleasing to God. Compare Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. The Living Bible states, Let us not neglect our church meetings, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. And then we go some more into the issues of obeying God rather than men. And you may want to read the entire editorial. We have already published that in the German language as well, because we felt that was really important to do so. In addition, here it is, Obeying God Rather Than Man. We picked up this new booklet yesterday. I will distribute it here after services, but it's going to be sent out on Monday to all our subscribers and to those who have already ordered a copy, who knew that this was coming. I do want to take a few moments, and as I said, I have an hour or so to talk about these things. I want to take a few moments to go through some of the things we are pointing out in this booklet. It has actually 9 chapters. It could have been more because the last chapter is broken down in some sub-chapters. But we are asking the question as to how to pray to governmental leaders, what it means to render to Caesar what is Caesar's, what it means that rulers are not a terror to good works, what it means that governmental officials are called God's ministers. It says, when are governmental officials established as God's ministers? And then some issues which are really a problem for many in the church today, in some church groups. Is it a sin to vote in governmental elections? Is it a sin for a Christian to serve on a jury? Is it a sin for a Christian to join the military and to fight in war? And then finally, what is the mark of the beast? And then, of course, it goes into all kinds of subsections like, will you accept the mark of the beast? What the mark of the beast means for you today? The mark of the beast in its wider application. And then we have subsections about anointing, preaching the gospel, worshiping and serving God alone, when not to obey, obey or submit to the penalty. What does that mean? And then, of course, a conclusion. Now, I hope you have enough interest now to make sure that you read this booklet. I would say for our members, it is a must read. And I would go so far as to say we are also right now preparing translations in German, in French, and in Spanish. I wouldn't baptize anyone who hasn't read that booklet, because it is so critical right now, because people, many people in God's churches have a completely wrong understanding about that issue as to how to obey God rather than men. Now, let me just address one issue here, and that has to do with serving on a jury. I don't know whether you are a fan of America Has Talent. This is an interesting show. I like it. And it started again this last week with a new season, so to speak. And they have these people there who are performing. And there was one individual. He was a singer. He performed a song. But what was really moving about the song was his story. He was I don't know how old he would have been, definitely in his 50s, if not 60s. He was let's say, 60 or whatever year old man, a black person. He explained that he had been in jail for 37 years, convicted of murder, until he was proven innocent by DNA tests. 37 years in jail. Now think about that. And what I had to wonder, what about those church members who are serving on a jury, who have, in all likelihood, if they would have served on that jury, convicted this man based on circumstantial evidence because of the instructions the judge would have given them and what the attorneys would have presented? How can you live? How could you live with a decision like that, where you are convicting an innocent person for 37 plus years in prison? And these things happen all the time. Having worked in the legal system for many years, I know whereof I speak. They happen all the time. It is crazy for me to even think that anyone who claims to be a true Christian, who claims to be in the body of Christ, would dare to get himself involved in these kind of environments. This booklet is talking about why it is a sin, a grave sin, to vote in governmental elections and to serve on a jury. And let me just tell you, in doing this, you have adopted the mark of the beast, believe it or not. This is what this booklet is going to explain. You want to read it. I hope you will. Now, when it comes to the current events, we have numerous articles, which I like to point out a few. The one has to do with Iran. Iran making the statement that it's the supreme leader. It's a funny title to me anyway. But this supreme leader, this Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, called for the eliminating of the Zionist regime. And he used the term final solution, which of course is associated with Nazi Germany's attempt to eliminate all Jews. And then they had a poster there, and it says that the poster showed people celebrating at the Temple Mount compound in Jerusalem after apparently capturing it from Israel as a Palestinian flag is raised over the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Palestine will be free, the final solution, resistance until referendum, the text on the poster says. And then, of course, Europe gave some lip services against these kind of statements, but the Israeli ambassador to Germany pointed out that the gravity of his remarks by this Ayatollah Khamenei does not reflect or is not reflected in the EU reaction, because it was kind of a mild reaction. And of course, it is absolutely true that Europe might be giving lip services to supporting Israel, but that is all there is. That's not in the update. That is a new article. But Breaking Israel News wrote on May 26 that several European leaders reportedly sent personal letters to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in recent days, asking him to not push ahead with plans to annex parts of the West Bank. And these leaders included Emmanuel Macron, Boris Johnson, Pedro Sanchez from Spain, and Giuseppe Conte from Italy. The article goes on to say, several European nations are currently considering ways, now listen carefully, to deter Israel from moving forward with its declared intention to apply sovereignty to the entire Jordan Valley, and how to punish it if it ignores their warnings. So it's going to be interesting to see what that punishment will consist of, because they are going to go ahead with the annexation, I have no doubt about it. What's going to happen? How is Europe going to respond? The interesting thing is that Breaking Israel News also published another article dated May 28 saying this. It seems the question is not will there be a conflict with Israel, where the Iranians use the massive rocket arsenals they supplied Hezbollah with, but rather when. So they're saying a war is coming between Israel and Iran. It's only a matter of when. But notice this. Israel is not ready for the next war, neither against Iran nor against Hezbollah. Their missiles won't destroy Israel, but the home front is not prepared, the army is not prepared, and the damage will be far-reaching. Now, I was reminded of Hosea 5, chapter 13, where it talks about the fact that Israel, Judah, will receive a wound. And then they will try to get help from Assyria, Germany, but won't get it. Back to the update. We are talking about an interesting article which was published by Market Watch on May 23. And Charles U. Smith is quoted. You may not know who this is, but he is the man behind the off2minds.com, which was recognized by CNBC as one of the best alternative financial blogs on the internet. Now, this man has been calling for the implosion of the U.S. empire for years now, and the coronavirus pandemic has him believing that the time has finally come. He says the pandemic is merely the final kick into the abyss. He said after the global financial crisis laid bare the fragile nature of an economy kept alive with artificial stimulus. A COVID-19 vaccine or lack thereof will have zero effect in terms of reversing these cycles, he said. Call it fate, call it karma, call it what you want, but the cycles have aligned and nothing can stop the unraveling of all that was foolishly presumed to be permanent. So what he is saying is what we have been saying all along. America is going down. The downfall is inevitable. There is not going to be any financial recovery. Don't believe it one moment. It's going to go down. And the time is ripe, as this person wrote. Jumping to Germany, what I'm going to read to you now has a lot to do with reminding ourselves of what happened in Nazi Germany. It's shameful, it's appalling, it's unbelievable. But that's where we are already. We're quoting Deutsche Weltnachrichten, reporting on May 21, that beginning on May 25, in other words, has already begun, the German state of Saxony is threatening parents of students who fail to bring with them daily a signed letter from the parents that their children are healthy. The letter will also have to state whether someone else in their household is sick. If the parents forget to give that daily letter to their children to present to the teacher, the school will inform the parents to immediately collect the children. In case of a repeat situation, the state may come in to take the children away from their parents. And another paper, Wochenblick, added that this reminds one of methods in Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union. That's how far we've gotten. But you know what? The situation in the United States of America isn't much better. Guidelines were published now, and according to some observers, they actually endanger the health of the children and harm them if you were to follow those guidelines to the schools as to what they are supposed to be doing. Now, you might want to read the entire article because it goes into that in detail. We have another article, which, again, is a eye-opener for some, not so much for us who have been carefully observing these things and who have been willing to publish articles which give you that side of the coin, not just what the left-wing mass media is presenting to you. This was an article by Breitbart, dated May 27. According to a report from Italy's National Health Authority, only 4.1% of fertilities testing positive for the coronavirus happened in the absence of serious, and then they're using a Latin medical term, I had to even check that out, what they're talking about, in the absence of another chronic disease. 4.1%. It goes on to say 15% of fatalities occurred when the presence of just one other serious disease was there. 21.4% died with two other serious diseases, and 59.6% of the people who died had at least three or more other underlying conditions. But they all were told they died of the coronavirus. The article goes on to say that one of the most astonishing findings of the report was that only 1.1% of all coronavirus deaths in the country, Italy, happens to people below the age of 50. While more than 57%, they were over 80. And this week, Spain had to revise its official death count for the coronavirus by nearly 2,000 after discovering a series of reporting errors and duplications, representing a 7% drop in the total death reported. Now, this is an article which we have not in this update, it's going to be the next one, which was published by Daily Mail. Now listen to this carefully. The coronavirus lockdown could have caused more deaths than it saved. Michael Levitt, a Stanford University professor, suggested the decision to keep people indoors was motivated by panic rather than the best science. Professor Levitt, he also had a Nobel Prize. Professor Levitt also said the modeling that caused the government to bring in the lockdown carried out by Professor Neil Ferguson overestimated the death toll by 10 or 12 times. Goes on to say, his claims echo those in a J.P. Morgan report that said lockdowns failed to alter the course of the pandemic, but have instead destroyed millions of livelihoods. Professor Levitt said, I think lockdown saves no lives. I think it may have lost lives. Social damage, domestic abuse, divorces, alcoholism has been extreme. His comments come as other scientists working in the same field also reported that they could not verify Professor Ferguson's work. Competent scientists' research, whose methods produced vastly different results, were largely ignored by government advisors. I ask you why. Why? Goes on to say, David Richards, co-founder of a British data technology company, said Ferguson's model was a buggy mess that looks more like a bowl of angel hair pasta than a finely tuned piece of programming. Now, these are some other voices bringing these things up. You don't hear too much about them, do you? And if you believe some of those other groups, church groups, they tell you, don't listen to those, because that could create conflict. Really? In our update, we have an article by Alan Dershowitz, that law professor from Harvard. He should have probably stuck to the law, but here now he's trying to tell you what the Bible says. And that's what he wrote. Supporters of slavery cited the Bible, as did anti-Semites and anti-gay bigots. And now anti-vaxxers are distorting and weaponizing the good book, religion and God against science. This has happened before with evolution, the age of the earth, abortion, assisted suicide, But this time, the anti-vaxxers who cite the Bible have no plausible argument, as anyone can see by turning to Leviticus and other portions of both the Jewish Bible and the Christian New Testament. And then he quotes Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. The interesting thing is that he is misquoting everything the Bible is saying. We have added the following comment after his article. He said this article was obviously written in light of the coronavirus and the present house arrests and self-isolations and quarantines of healthy persons. Alan Dershowitz in that is dead wrong. He twists and perverts the Bible by insinuating that God would ever have demanded quarantining a healthy person. In his convoluted scriptural reasoning, Dershowitz seems to even admit that only unhealthy persons suffering from a contagious disease should be quarantined, but then seems to suggest that everyone is presumed unhealthy and could be quarantined unless a safe vaccine is developed against the coronavirus. Also, we question, is Dershowitz honestly suggesting that the Bible does not condemn homosexuality, abortion, assisted suicide, or evolution? So Dershowitz is not a credible authority on the right understanding of the Bible. He brings this out because this guy is being interviewed all the time, including on Fox News. And so he gives his opinions. Unfortunately, the opinions are, even from a legal standpoint, many times wrong. Well, certainly they are completely and totally wrong when it comes to understanding the Bible. And that brings me to the next issue I'd like to address today. And these are the violent riots happening right now in America. Now, I was wondering when I saw those videos, the terrible conduct of those police officers, especially the one who, without any question, caused the death of this black gentleman, and the other stood idly by doing nothing. But then when I also saw the riots, when I saw the looting, the destruction of property, burning of houses and cars, I was wondering whether anybody would draw a connection here. And then this morning I did find an interesting article which was published by The Week of today, and this person is drawing the connection here. And that's what he wrote. Another indelible image, or rather a series of them. Night fires, masked faces running in and out of burnt storefronts, protests, rioting, looting. Our long, hot summer was always coming. As far as I'm aware, no one has written as meaningful or at meaningful length about Floyd's killing in the context of the lockdown and the pandemic it was ostensibly meant to contain. The relationship between all of these problems and the prolonged atomizing of the lockdown is the same as that between gunpowder and a match. Social distancing was going to get darker, and it has. Studies project as many as 100,000 additional deaths of despair in the months and years to come. What conclusions can be drawn from Minneapolis? One is that millions of us no longer believe, if indeed we ever really did, that there is a meaningful risk of outdoor transmission of the virus, even in very large crowds. This, one assumes, is why there are no scaremongering pieces about the protests along the lines of those that appeared after Wisconsin dared to hold an election 2 months ago. Sooner or later, masks will have to come off. So what he is saying is, of course, very clear. He is saying that there's a connection. People are getting upset. They are getting to the point where they had it. We have been telling you for months, if not years, that we are going to have civil unrest in this country, civil war, perhaps even. We have told you that even before the coronavirus scenario started. We have most certainly told you that while the coronavirus methods by governments were ongoing. We didn't quite know how it would trigger it, but it would be triggered. Now, we don't know whether this is already the beginning of the end or whether there's more coming, but we are obviously aware and should be aware of what is happening in this country. You read newspapers from other countries and they say America is in total disarray, in total destruction mood, and that's what it is. We have also told you that from the outset, that actually Satan is behind all of this. Satan is the one who brought this about. He's bringing it about. Why? Because he wants to destroy the United States of America, Great Britain, also some other English-speaking nations. And we in God's church have to be aware of that, rather than putting our head in the sand like the proverbial ostrich. Then finally, in the current events section, we have an article on women not to give public prayers. Now here's a mayor, the mayor of Dallas, of a Dallas suburb. He said, well, I'm not going to ask a woman leading a public prayer at a city council meeting. Of course, he got all attacked left and right and center by just about everybody. He is also a pastor, not just a mayor. And he said, in a religious setting, the Bible teaches that she is not to say a public prayer or not to lead the singing or not to deliver the sermon. And he's quoting, of course, from 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy. And our comment is this. The Bible does indeed prohibit women from preaching in public or from a church pulpit. Notice, writing religious articles with scriptural quotations, which many Church of God groups allow them to do, or, of course, giving public prayers. That's what the Bible says. That's what those who have the Sardis and Laodicean spirit don't want to believe. Finally, the Q&A. The question, and this Q&A was written by Brian Gill and myself, is it possible to hold a grudge against someone and still make it into God's kingdom? And it's a very fascinating article. I think you should all read it carefully because we might still have grudges, carrying grudges with us and saying, oh, we don't, and thereby deceiving ourselves. But I want to point out one thing here, because this is also what's being stated. Grudges, a feeling of resentment or ill will, and the desire to avenge ourselves can lead in extremes to death. If it doesn't go to that extreme, there can still be serious consequences. And, interestingly, we can grudge in giving. And that admonition is especially relevant now in preparation for the day of Pentecost, as, following God's instruction, we will be taking up an offering on God's annual holy day, which is tomorrow, as we do on all seven annual holy days. The Apostle Paul writes, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 7. There is to be a willing heart and a sincere desire on the part of the one giving in order to participate. Paul is not so much interested in their money, nor is God, for that matter, but there are those who can give and do so grudgingly in a miserably fashion, or in a miserly fashion. Now, Paul is correct, but here it says miserly fashion. It is another area where we have to exercise great care, a very important admonition for tomorrow when we will take up an offering, and we will take up an offering. Some have written and said to their people, oh, don't, we won't do that. Just send in the money, but don't send cash either by the mail. Well, let me say this. If you want to send because you cannot participate in a assembly, if you want to send cash by mail, go right ahead. I'm not telling you not to. But God commands us to take up an offering. So why would these people not do it? Again, something you got to figure out.